State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my
new series, Parrish.
My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life, you know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forest, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
Big Bang and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts, the hottest podcast in the streets. Visit the new website today, www.bigfactspod.com.
Live from First Class Sounds, you know who it is, DJ Scream, Big Bang, Baby Jade. And today we have a special, special legendary guest on Big Facts.
Yeah, for sure.
Mr. What's My Favorite Word?
Hits!
Too short is here.
Why
on
you
Big
gotta
Facts.
Say it like short?
That's a good way to put it. Mr. What's My Favorite Word? I like that. I might get that T-shirt made.
There you go. There you go. Welcome to Big Facts, OG. How you feeling today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's always good when I get back to the A, man. Always good.
Mm-hmm. You lived here. How long did you live here?
I was here from 93 to 08.
93 to 08.
15 good years.
And what made you, I wouldn't say at the peak, but you were just like popping. What made you up and say, I'm going from the Bay to the A?
Freaknik.
Freaknik, there you go.
The wow. Perfect place.
I came to Freaknik 93. I heard about Freaknik 92.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I'm going to go to it the next year. So I went to Freaknik 93.
Mm-hmm.
I came here for the weekend.
And you never left.
I stayed for 2 weeks. And then I was about to buy a house in Oakland. And my homeboy from Oakland lived out here already. My homeboy, Tone. And he fucking was like, well, what kind of house you gonna buy? I said, man, I'll probably spend like about, you know, $500,000, get a little something up in the hills. He was like, let me show you what you get for $500,000 in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Freaknik. We like riding around looking at a couple of properties and shit. I came back for Jack the Rapper a few months later, and I didn't even tell nobody what I was doing. I just kind of left the convention and I went and bought a house. Like, fuck it. And yeah. I just came out here, man. I don't know. I felt like, I don't know, it just called me, man. It was the colleges, it was the strip clubs, it was the, you know, I was looking at young Dallas Austin and Jermaine, and it was, mm-hmm. you know, it was LaFace Records. I'm like, I'm about to come get down with this shit. So
mm-hmm.
I pulled up.
Yeah, yeah. And Atlanta is always like, I don't think you had to fit in no shit. Like, when you got here, it was like, people was just like, short hair, and you just fit in. You know what I'm saying?
But like, I'm like, but you know, like, 93, It was a little different than this Atlanta.
It was way different.
This was before the Olympics.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was a different vibe.
Way much different.
And it's kind of like School Days, the movie or something. You know, it was the streets, you know, Techwood, all that shit was lit.
Yeah.
But then it was the colleges and it was that vibe. And I was like, man, I'm supposed to be here. So, I don't know, man. Niggas don't know this, though. I lived in Atlanta in the 70s. I got 1 year in. I finished my seventh grade year, and I started my eighth grade year. I lived on Old National Highway, Camelot.
Southside.
I lived in Camelot. Wow.
Yeah. That's probably like the Wayne Williams years.
Yeah.
And then I went to M.D. Collins.
Mm.
I even went to, with seventh grade, I went to the Meadows. Like, people in College Park know these schools, but but yeah, man, I was out here. So my mama moved out here, and then I guess I don't know. She didn't tell me, but I'm assuming she was like, Wayne Williams, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily believe Wayne Williams did all the murders, but at the same time, you know, it was in the air, and we dipped back to Cali. So when I got to Atlanta in 93, I knew people. I knew certain people that I went to school with. I just kind of fit in a little bit. So, you know.
With being a legend and a pioneer of the game, what you think you brought to the game that's yet to be duplicated?
Well, you know, I feel like, for one, every time you get a rapper with a dope style and a voice, people always steal it. Nobody never really stole Too Short voice.
Facts.
Nobody tried to mimic it or nothing. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, my blueprint has always been funky music with a lot of bass and then just spit a lot of game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can name you the few that figured it out, but people try to do certain things and they'll have like the beats, but they won't have the game.
Mm.
They might have the game, but they don't have the beats. And it's like, it takes both. And you wonder, like, you're like, man, this nigga can't really rap, but I'm spitting a lot of game and the beats sound so damn good in your car. And people don't know that. That's how we was cheating the game. Like, we literally, like, you mix your song in the studio. Mm. I mix my songs in the car.
Mm.
Like, I go to the guy and get the best goddamn stereo I can get. And I'm like, okay, this one sound good.
Mm.
And I just put everything to the test in that car. If it don't pass the car test, then it don't get mixed and mastered.
Facts. Mm.
So literally, my shit was customized for your expensive ass stereo in your car.
Mm.
That's hard.
How did you deal with back then? Oh, coming into the game and the, you know what I'm saying, New York having a hold on it. And I know you used to always hear like the, man, Short can't rap in Atlanta. We like, nigga, he the best rapper, because we can relate to it. But they were like, he's not lyrical, he's not all this other bullshit. Like, how did you go from that space to them same people wanting to do music with you?
Well, first and foremost, the guys I was working with, we used to have a strict policy. Let's do everything that they don't do. Mm-hmm. Whatever they doing, let's not do that, and let's do some shit they ain't doing. So that was first and foremost, to just be not trying to be like New York. And then I like New York rap. I love it, but I'm saying I didn't want to be it. So then on top of that, like, the first reviews I got when I signed a Jive, and I'm like on the national scale, national level, all the reviews were shitty. They was like, can't rap, beats whack. I'm like, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the first whack review I got, it kind of hurt, because it was a major publication. I'm reading it, I'm like, damn, I thought when I do shows, they love me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started making that money.
Mm-hmm.
So the next cycle, when they gave me the bad reviews, I was like, shit, they got a swimming pool at the house. I got to looking around like, fuck that review.
Yeah.
So it didn't really bother me. And then I started embracing it, to where I was like, they don't understand it. Because if you got on a Walkman and you on the train, you ain't going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Vice versa. If I'm in my car, I just spent $12,000 on the sound system, and you put in some boom bap or something, you know, with no real bass, and it's intense, and it's, you know, it's a certain energy, like this shit sound good in your headphones. You got your Walkman, you on the train, you people stressing you out and shit, and you like trying to shut out the world. If it works, but that shit I make, you need a fucking $10,000 system to bump it.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that, and I played my lane, and they couldn't figure it out. Man, I had like. Seven platinum albums before they even realized what I was doing.
Mm.
I was putting out albums every 9 months.
I think they blamed you for niggas not trusting relationships too, bro.
Well, you know, that's another thing that people don't understand, is my music is really educational. Like, I really like put these stories in there, and I give you these scenarios, and I tell you the do's and don'ts, and It's just like, it's like passing the game. I look at it like I'm just this one person talking to one other person, and I'm just giving you the game. Like, this is how I walked around the city, and the OGs was giving me the game. The OGs love to give you the game, so I'm like, I'm gonna pass the game on, and that's all I was doing. And people took to that shit. Like, it's like, bro, don't let her pull up on you and tell you you gotta give her all your money. Like, don't do it. Niggas is like, man, I was a sucker. Then I listened to some short drugs, some short dog, and I got the game. That was the purpose.
Yeah, I feel like if Cocktails would have been a book, it would have been a bestseller.
Yeah. That's when I first got to Atlanta. That's the first thing I made in Atlanta was Cocktails. I recorded that album at Dallas Austin Studio. I shot the video out here, everything.
Yeah.
You see them trees in the background? For real.
So look, I want to ask you something, and I want you to like just answer me like very seriously. Uh-huh. Why didn't you ever trademark bitch?
Well, I've been asked that, and you know, early on, it was just my thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I feel like Ice Cube had a record. It was a bitch is a bitch or something. And he said it at the end. And then AMG came with Bitch Better Have My Money. And it's going, bitch, bitch. I think he was sampling the Ice Cube song in that song. And then people kind of start saying it. And it was like, you know, I had mixed emotions. But the big picture of it is Death Row comes along. Snoop Dogg starts saying it. Def Row adopted it. Like, B.I.S., they put a little twist on it. And I feel like, let's say had I trademarked it before that, and I'm like, anybody say it, you got to pay me. I don't feel like it would have became what it did.
But it hasn't. Bitch wasn't actually trademarked until 2009.
But I'm saying, had you not given it to the world,
it
wouldn't have been the thing. It would have been my little thing, and I would have suppressed it and kept it right here, and it wouldn't have, the world couldn't have had it. So it's like a contribution, man. And that's what hip hop is. Hip hop.
But see, like in today's music, like niggas are the opposite. Like, I said this first, or I made this word, or
but let's just look at hip hop. What if you could trademark a hairstyle or a fashion style? Like, hip hop is a gift. Like, rappers do something, the whole world does it.
The whole culture, for sure.
Like, so it's like, that's what we do. We give out phrases and new looks and slick words, and we give it to the world. Like, that's what we do.
Yeah.
It's a gift. Bitch was my gift to the world. I gave short. Let me get a bitch. Here you go. It's a gift.
Nah, for sure.
Hey, we got some news about Kevin Samuels passing away. How you feel about his philosophy and the stuff that he said in the game what he was kicking?
I don't know the whole journey. All I know is the recent clickbait.
Right.
So I can't get to the gist of where it came from and what it was. I don't know. It sounded like some pimping, but then it sounded real like, you know, anti-female. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
But Pimpin' Ken was saying, he called it Miss Pimpin'.
Exactly.
That's what Pimpin' Ken said.
I was reading the quotes and I'm like, I don't know what this pimping is, but it...
He sounded slightly angry.
Because it was hateful. It was hateful. Yeah. And I'm like, the last thing you want to do to get a hold of hope for you is be super hateful. You know what I
mean?
You got to finesse it. So I don't know. Maybe he had a background in like some serious guerrilla pimping, you know? Bitch, I'll kill you if you don't hoe. I don't know. I don't know the story, so I can't really put an opinion on it. You know?
Yeah. Over the years, how have you dealt with just like women who might be mad at you because of your music? How have you dealt with that?
Well, in life, you got to have your balance, man. You know what I'm saying? You gotta know this. So something that I always did, and you can talk to the women that know me, like, I would get on that stage in that studio and talk a lot of shit, but then I'll get off the stage and I'll be like a gentleman. And even though, you know, it's 100% player status, I'm still running it from like a gentleman aspect. So when you leave the room, they don't go, oh, that nigga came in here disrespectless. That nigga, like, it was like, damn, I thought he was gonna be rude and he was nice. Like, it's a balance in there. So then when you do, like, she's like, oh, man, this nigga fucked me for 2 weeks and didn't call me no more. It's not so bad. Cause I didn't, for two weeks I wasn't being disrespectful, you know?
Yeah, right.
So it's a balance. But I try never to walk through life and act like too short. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, it doesn't really work for me, but I know that people are influenced by me and they try, bitch, what's up, bitch? What y'all doing, like, bitch? I don't do that myself.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, ladies, what's up? How y'all doing? What y'all getting into? Like, it's player.
Yeah.
So, I just kind of like, I just be myself.
So, yeah. Would you consider Too Short a character?
It's definitely some shit I made up in my room when I was in high school. Just, I made the shit up, but it's real ingredients. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And it's not, I didn't have to go out. I ain't never lie. I did not go out and pimp all the hoes in Oakland and on the road.
But you got the game from the True Max and gave it back to the
I represent the game, but at the same time, you know, hoes have walked up to me and handed me all kind of money. I don't give it back. I keep it. But I never was like, bitch, you better make the quota every day. Like, I had a hoe.
Like, you were never a police pimp.
Yeah, no, I had a hoe give me money for years. I never once said, what time you get off work? When you going? She just like, I got something for you. Okay. This girl walked up to me at a club in Las Vegas and said, I quote her, I never forget her quote. She said, nigga, you the reason why I'm hoeing, and handed me a little thing of money. It was like tiny.
A bankroll.
It was tiny, but I looked at it. It was a crowded club. I looked at it later. It was $1,800 bills. I was like, okay. That's the game coming back to you.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
What's if a young nigga pulled up on you who just got into this shit and asked you the key to longevity, what you'll tell
him? I just think, you know, the work ethic has always been it for me. Like, and I noticed the people who win in this game are always the overachievers. They're the ones who put in the most work. So you sitting there measuring talent and skills and all the looks and all this shit, but it's really the hustler, man. The hustler wins in this.
Right.
And my whole life, I've been a hustler, like, really, my feet on the pavement. I started off with, people say, Too Short sold tapes out of his trunk. Nigga, we was on foot. We didn't have a car. We was literally on the bus with a fucking paper bag full of cassette tapes and selling in the hood and shit. So I just think it's the hustle, man. I tell a motherfucker, when you put in all this work and you get your foot in the door and you look around and you like, oh, shit, I'm on stage. They love me. I made it. Like that, like, you should look at it like the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. You're like, this is where it starts.
Yeah.
And then every time,
you got to try to figure out how to keep that shit going.
Every time you set these goals and you achieve them, whether you do or not, when you get to that point,
say some more.
I'm just starting. It starts all over again. Exactly. It ain't no end game.
Right.
Exactly. And when you think like that, you the winner.
Exactly.
You're going to win.
Never satisfied.
Yeah. And that's just, I mean, it's a philosophy that is easily said, but it really requires you. Like, if you're the kind of motherfucker that stay up till 4 in the morning kicking it, you still got to get up at 9 and hustle. Like, you can't be the guy who sleeps all day. You can't be the guy who delegates and you, like, laying around. The money coming in, you like, hey, man, go do that, man. You do that. Like, if you ain't doing it, it's going to get away from you. So,
facts.
I'm hands-on. They always say, like, man, let me do it. Like, nah, bro, I got it. I carry these boxes. I'll do the shit. I'll do the edit. Whatever.
Mm. Right.
So, I tell a motherfucker, hustle hard, that's all.
Mm. What year would you say your rap career started?
Well, I had a high school career. I had a rap partner named Freddie B. And we were really popular around the Bay. It was cassette tapes we sold. Mm. Everybody duplicated them. We was hot. We used to DJ house parties in the hood. No matter where we showed up, at a dance, whatever, they loved us. Mm. And then I had my little independent career where, you know, I was on 75 Girls Records. That was a little independent label out of Oakland. Then I started my own independent label, Dangerous Music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I signed to Jive, and the shit went big. I'm on the Eazy-E called me up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the Straight Outta Compton tour. Mm-hmm. And I think shit just started there. That's why I really feel like the shit happened.
Right.
Was that Straight Outta Compton tour. I was independent. Have a lot of money. Jive Records came along, signed us, and then I dropped the album Life Is Too Short.
Mm-hmm.
It's my first time getting like a radio song. I'm on the radio. I'm on MTV Raps and all this shit. And then Easy Call said, you want to go on the tour, get out on the stage. It's like 15,000, 20,000, 25,000 sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, man, I'm like, okay. So they gave me this much money to make an album, then I go out and I get this much real tour. I'm like, nigga, put me back in the studio. Do this shit again.
Right.
Let me ask you something about that tour too. What I was kind of trying to get that. So, and correct me if I'm wrong. In your whole career, you never had security,
but not like I didn't have security.
Okay.
I didn't have a bodyguard.
You didn't have a bodyguard.
Yeah,
you.
Like we were secure.
Right.
Like it was safe. I had to. I brought the right homies. I brought. I used to go on tour with like, okay, this is what I consider real security. Mm-hmm. So we all hanging out. And we in the element, wherever it is, it's the after party scene. I used to like to walk around the crowd. Mm-hmm. After I do the show, I get out off stage and walk through the crowd and take pictures and, mm-hmm. and meet people and stuff. And I would tell like one or two guys, like guys who like them guys to mm-hmm. do that thing. I'm like, act like you ain't with me. So basically, we rolling. It's like four or five of us. But it's like two of us over there on the side.
The cover hitters.
And then them the dudes that, you know, you could be disrespectful. We ain't finna, we had a policy like, let's get home. Mm-hmm. Let's get home safe. Mm-hmm. So in that policy, it's like man, buddy right there was pretty disrespectful. But that's like, let's not go fight him right now. Stay on him for a little while. Fuck him up later. And that's how we used to get down. We like, you know, we'd get our little revenge and get home and you wouldn't even know. You like, man, fuck Too Short. But at the same time, you got beat up later that night and didn't even know I did that. So that's how we used to get down. And I was like, I just never felt like big dudes, mm-hmm. like the dudes 6'8". It's like, I used to call them a body bluff. I'm like, if we had a big dude, I'm like, you do the body bluff. But then really the real dangerous dudes.
Yeah, because
like,
them niggas will blow their muscles up off of you.
I seen them big dudes, man.
It's for real.
Like, everybody act different when they go pop, pop, pop. Everybody got a different reaction.
Right.
I tend to try to locate, like, you know what I'm saying, before I get to diving and ducking, I kind of want to locate a little bit. Okay, it's over there, and they scattering over there. So that's, you know what I'm saying, I try to evaluate, and then I react instead of running to the bullets or diving into them or some shit. But them big dudes, watch when they go pop, pop, pop. Mm. You supposed to be bodyguarding me, man. Them big dudes, they get light on their feet when they pop, pop.
I'll be saying that
they
sometimes.
They get light. Like, sometimes big dude, how you get up under that desk over there? So, you know, I'm not saying all big dudes.
Yeah,
I don't want the whole big crew to come around.
Yeah.
But it's some tough-ass dudes that'll fight you, but when they hear that pop up,
yeah,
niggas will leave you hanging.
Would you hang so? Dry. Would you advise in this current state of music, like if you had artists, mm-hmm. or you do probably do have artists, would you advise them to now move without security?
I would talk to the homies because it seems to me the part that's messed up in the equation right now is the homies. Mm. So,
right,
I'm the rapper. They bring us the problem. Now we got a problem. We got to deal with. I feel like okay. I'm the one that make the most money in the crew. I'm employing a few of y'all. We getting money. If I run to the fight and get messed off, the whole hustle's over. If they get to me any kind of way, if it's something happen, some crimes get charged with people or something, you know what I'm saying? And I go down, the hustle stops. So the first thing you do is like the president, you like get the money.
You gotta protect to the brand. Side.
But the ego is like, man, I'm fighting with my homies.
Mm-hmm.
I used to ask my homies, like, bro, I got money, man. Let me get in on the dope hustle. Let me get down. Niggas like, nigga, if I ever see you selling dope, I'm fucking you up. Like,
yeah, real like, niggas around you, for real.
Like, literally, like, my boy explained it to me one day. He said, man, you get us into places we can't never get into in life. You take us places we can never go. Mm-hmm. He's like, we need you to be you. We got this other thing. We doing this. He doing that. We don't need you to do what we do. We need you to do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. once I realized that, I was like, okay, like, I'm not punking out because I'm not fighting every battle with the homies. But they're like, bro, we don't need you as a soldier.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. you're not, that ain't even.
You chosen to do some more.
Yeah,
shit.
So even if it was like it was a fight one night. It had nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with nobody I'm with. And the fight break out. And, you know, my crew, we used to like to scatter. We don't really like stand in a pack. So we split up, act like we ain't together, whatever. You do get two of y'all over there. We just cool. And a dude walk up. He like, the fight's going down way away from me. He like, man, Too Short, you okay? And my homie said, bro, back up. And he said, man, I'm just trying to see a short. That was it. He couldn't get no more words. He was asleep. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's just how we get down, bro. It's like, you know, like we just... We're trying to get home.
Mm.
That's the only thing we say. Let's get home.
And you feel like everybody took care of you because you took care of them too.
Yeah, I gave back.
Mm.
And I didn't never have to get extorted or, you know what I'm saying, where nobody bullied me or nothing. I gave back. Like, naturally, I know what I got from Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I got. I got everything. So I'm like, at any given time, I knew who to look out for, who to put in what position. And it just, it's just politics, man.
Mm.
now, so now that the rap game done expanded, like, it's like these young niggas getting different bags these days. Like.
Yeah, and I think they just a little too involved with, you know, the OGs before me. They would be telling you, like, you can't let everybody know what you got. You know what I'm saying? Like, bragging is, with social media, is a big thing now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I never really, like, condone that, really, like, just brag, you know what I'm saying?
No, like, I'm talking about like the shows, like see back in the day, the shows could be like, if you was getting 50,000, you was like the biggest artist.
Yeah.
Now these niggas getting like $500,000 for shows.
Yeah, I know, but then the dudes before me didn't get what we got.
Exactly.
We come in late 80s, early 90s, we upped it up, we in arenas and stuff, and you know, it just kept elevating. I feel like you gotta be a trailblazer. You gotta open doors for the next ones. Like, I don't know what's next after these guys? Yeah. These guys are opening doors for something that's next.
Yeah.
What is that? Is it corporate? I mean, I don't know. What's
athlete,
next?
Rappers getting, Drake just got an athlete contract.
Yeah, so like, yeah, half a billion. You know, yeah, so, you know, yeah.
So,
but so it's like, I played my part. If I had six platinum albums in a row, if I did that right now, you know what I mean? That the value of that would be way more than what I got.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what I could do. As six platinums in a row, I was very popular,
mm-hmm.
but not there was not one corporation that was like, let's take this popularity and use him to endorse our product.
Yeah.
Like they didn't want no parts of us. Like they barely wanted to let us in the arenas, even though we could sell them out. They're like, man, don't let them dudes up in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like we couldn't even get the tours. They was making up shit like the insurance is too much, mm-hmm. all this stuff. So to see where it's at right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blessing. I'm celebrating for the young homies. I'm like, man, get that bag. Like, one song.
They said they need answers. About what? When I get big fat. Big fat, big fat.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
Who your favorite new artist? Like, I mean, your favorite current artist?
Yeah, I never could really like endorse new guys. You got to stick around for a couple albums, a couple years.
I'm gonna throw a name out of somebody that they say you influenced a lot though, and that's Larry June.
Yeah,
a lot of people say who? Larry June from the Bay.
Yeah, I see Larry June. I'm like, what's up, man?
Larry June, like the biggest Bay artist.
I'm like, love the music, man. Blah, blah, blah. He's like, bro, I used to be at your house when I was 5 years old.
Oh, y'all knew each other.
His family is my family, you know, like his peoples is my people. Like, so
yeah,
it's like his mom and them, they, you know, Oakland is small, man. The Bay is small.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of like a generation. So we all connected. So I'm connected to his older
people. Gotcha. Makes sense now.
Mm-hmm. So how do you think the music scene in the Bay was affected by the death of Mac Dre?
Well, Mac Dre went out like a martyr, you know what I mean? He was like, yeah, he's the guy. So you got Too Short and E-40. Everybody's mm-hmm. gonna say, man, they the ones that set it off. And then you got Mac Dre and Keek the Sneak. And they they came along and they just, you know, took all the youngsters and just whipped them in a frenzy and the hyphy movement.
Yeah.
And you know, when Mac Dre got killed, it was like Martin Luther King in the Bay, you know what I mean? It was that kind of loss.
Would you compare it almost similar to like how when Nipsey got killed to Los Angeles?
It's the same thing. It's the same Biggie, Pac. It's the same loss. And I mean, they stole his headstone. People like to this day in the Bay to this mm-hmm. day. If you put on any of those Drake classics, I mean, they go crazy. It's like. I'm the first one to do it.
Right.
Multi-platinum, all that. 40 come along. He just like, I mean, he just like songs like Sprinkle Me and Captain Sabo. He just like I'm 4-0, like I'm here.
Yeah, right.
But Mac Dre was like, he was like the people's champ. Like he never sold records like me and 40, but he was the people's champ. Like I could personally go to the Bay, the OG, and I say something bad about Mac Dre, I'll be in a fight out there. Like, they be like, OG, I love you, but you just bad talk Mac Dre, OG. You got to get it.
That's
how much they love that brother. So that his thing that he did, though, he touched the people. Like, he was the guy who danced in the streets with him, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
He was that character that they said, I see, he's right there.
Right.
You know what
that
I mean?
That tangible, like, object.
He's real.
Yeah.
Dre pimped hoes. Dre's a fool. Dre went to the pen. Dre, you know, with the drama, everything, with the bank robberies, all it was like, yeah, that's our guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
that's hard.
I'm the OG. I'm like, I was on before all of them, so it's like my man Mr. Fab say, he always tell him, he like, man, it's gonna take you.
Yeah, shout out to Fab.
Yeah, that's my man.
He's like, it take you about 8 times to meet Too Short before he really know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So the first 7 times I'm like, what's up, homie? Like, I'm acting like I met you for the first time. We done met 6 times already.
I've been there with you, but I've been there with
I'm
you.
I'm just saying, man.
I so met you with, like, guys, you like 30 times, you finally got it like on number exactly. 30.
Nah, but back to that, what artist that you, if you had to say, like, I fuck with that little artist, that which one would it be?
Let's just put them in the category. You can tell me who they are. So they come in the game and they blow up, and we like the music. First time around, we see that so many times.
Yeah.
Second time around, it's really hard the second time to capture it. But I feel like once you get that house and that money and shit change and you ain't got to stand on the corner no more, I feel like it gets harder to say, like take a Young Jeezy. That's one of my favorites. And his rap style. So when he got to the 4th and the 5th album, he was still bringing it. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
To still bring that, and to bring that, to be convincing, to satisfy your fans, and to be sitting in the big house with the the baddest chick, she all on you, the video game or whatever, the blunts is flowing like water. It's hard to maintain in that situation. So I just feel like if you can string it together for some years, man, and you could make good music, good shows, satisfy the crowd, you know, your audience is loving you. Those are my favorite. It's so hard to do. It sounds like when you, like, think about all of our rappers over the years. Mm-hmm. And like, man, yeah. I love that song. Where is he? What happened? Like,
so, but how did you do it?
I give a lot of my credit to, like, my first cousins and my homies, because at the moment in time, the big head is what throws you off. Mm-hmm. When you get the big head. So when you got the people around you that's like, you know, like you got a rap name, but then you got the other name that your real name, mm-hmm. your real nickname. Mm-hmm. Them the people that's supposed to keep you grounded.
Right.
And if you get the big head, when you start going, man, I always look at rappers like this. So I'm like, so and so just stepped up, fired his whole crew. That's always a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
When you get rid of the people you came up with, mm-hmm. I'm like, he don't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not you.
That's the magic. Right.
Like, Too Short has never been just me. Too Short is all of Oakland. It's my whole crew. Mm-hmm. It's my family. Like, it's a lot of elements to what makes Too Short. Mm-hmm. When I sit around, I tell you like a crazy story. I'm in a song, I might be telling you my homeboy story. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I needed to be at that domino table and hear that shit talking. I'm like, that's them songs. Mm. Yeah. So when you shake the crew and the shit don't work, it ain't no going back across that bridge, man. You burning bridges. I just think my favorite rappers are the ones like the T.I.s, you know what I'm saying? And when you say young rappers, they ain't really got that level yet of show and prove, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm just waiting. Like I used to have my eye on Future. Mm. And I'm like, I wonder, you know, because I knew him before and shit. I'm like, I wonder, is he going to make it? And he made it.
Mm-hmm.
He made it over the second album, third album. So like, and you watch him, like, I get really proud when they get over the hump. And I'm like, okay, he figured it out. And I look at you, you rolling up with the 50-man entourage, people, mm-hmm. you employing people and stuff. Once you start, your bag gets big enough to pay other people, I'm like, now you're doing it right.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Then, then you get the offspring. You like everybody. We like trees. All of us are like trees, and everything that you create from your tree is another one of your branches.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And you take a tree like Eazy-E. Let's take away Eazy-E, and who is his tree branches? Dr. Dre. You know, Ice Cube. Mm-hmm. And then Dre branch off to Snoop Dogg and Eminem and 50 Cent. Like, mm-hmm. but would all that happen if Eazy-E didn't sell dope and flip his dope and buy a studio and produce an album and hook up Dr. Dre? What do we get? Like, what is your tree? Yeah. Not just you. What are you going to branch out to be?
So that's a good question. What is your tree?
Those are my favorite rappers.
You need to write that down in the Bible.
For sure.
But my niggas, like my youngsters who are going to turn into tree branch, trees and the branches are going to grow. They're my favorite rappers.
What's gonna come from you?
Yeah, basically. So and you can't figure that out on your first album. You can't figure that out the first two or three times out. You gotta stick around.
Yeah.
You gotta go through some stuff. They gotta push you and test you. You gotta, you know, can you blow up? Fall the fuck off and blow back up again.
Back.
Can you
there
do
you
that?
Go. That's there the main thing.
Because that's longevity. I didn't stay on always. Like it was times, man, you sitting there trying to figure it out. You gotta figure that shit out.
Facts.
So let me ask you this. Just going back to something you were saying where you were just speaking on about how basically Oakland gave you everything, so you gave back Oakland. Have you ever had to deal with somebody that you've given back to that didn't reciprocate that give back or that didn't appreciate it and kind of flipped the script on you?
I've had a lot of politics in my life. Mm-hmm. And I just think that I got those good people around me, and we just deal with everything head on. And yeah, I've had
ungrateful motherfuckers.
Yeah, you know, bite the hand that feeds you situations. Yeah, right. I've had that. I've had people who I helped out in a major way
mm-hmm.
didn't really like manage it right to help, and then they come back go help me again.
You.
I'm like, ain't no more help, and they get mad.
Yeah,
I'm like, bro, that was a one time hit. I hit you. You were supposed to get out, and you didn't get out. So, but I also have I'm not gonna drop names. I have people that's like, man, I just point me in somebody's direction. somebody that you don't like. I'm like, bro, it's cool right now. So, you know, it's like a lot of people know. People have found out that I did some really good favors for some really powerful people. And, you know, and never got a favor in return. Right. And they like, let me know when. So a lot of people know, like, bro, just leave dude alone. Because when you come at him, it don't just be him.
Right.
Getting back at you. They come from everywhere. Like I'm in the gangster network. And I don't know if you know about it, but it's nationwide, worldwide. I'm in on the network. Mm. For real.
So how does that, I mean, like, so when you're dealing with those people that don't reciprocate properly how they're supposed to, how do you prevent that from like internally affecting your mental? As far as you wanting to do something for other people, you see what I'm saying? How do you prevent that from making you not want to stop doing?
Because the game is a thing. It's not this game you run on people. The game is an entity. It's a thing. It's this knowledge that you have. It's the way you roll. It's where you fit in. Mm-hmm. You and your game. And I think that when you try to give it to somebody, you're giving it to them because you think they're worthy of it. So when you find out that person's not worthy, you give it to the ones who just keep giving it. You don't stop giving. Like, I'm a giver. So you don't stop giving just because that person messed it up.
Yeah.
You're like, man, I fuck these niggas. I ain't doing it no more. It ain't like that. It's like, and like you cut that part off and then you move on to this part.
And I just don't even think about it anymore.
Because I believe that this thing, when you get it and you figure it out, you got to share it.
Yeah.
You don't deserve it if you don't share it.
I feel the same way.
So that's the blessings, because little things from just a moment of time and a little bit of advice, actual help, like stepping stones in somebody's life. These levels that we go to, like the little guy, I've been around a long time, the little guy always seems to blow up bigger than you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, mm-hmm. a lot of people in our industry have a tendency to shit on the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural fucking thing. It's like, get my thing, do this. Like, you just treat them bad. Like, mm-hmm. you ain't up here with us. Mm-hmm. But you don't realize that they remember that shit.
Yeah.
And if you've been a good energy,
mm-hmm.
throughout this shit, like, shit come back. You least expect it.
Yeah, fact.
Least expect it. Like, you be in a situation where you might be needing a financial play, and one of your little homies that blew up, like, bro, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
You might be somewhere outnumbered in a situation. Somebody roll up out the blue, go, bro, you having a problem? Oh, man, you good. Here we here.
Fact.
You're like, damn, I didn't even know. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Same nigga you could have shitted on, but you didn't.
And now they saving you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I just think you got to treat everybody the same. You got to respect.
Facts. Yeah.
Disrespect the people that earned it, that deserve it. But outside of that, respect people up until the point where they don't earn your respect.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. One milestone in your career, you were the first rapper to retire. You retired, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the two things I guess I ask is, what sparked that retirement? And then on the other end, there were people that said, well, the retirement might have been like a marketing move. Can you elaborate a little bit on the too short retirement and coming out of the retirement?
It was both. On the marketing side, it was the most publicity I got for free.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the only thing that might have topped that was TMZ got me running from the police.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been some really good free press, too.
Right.
But so I was 30 years old. I was releasing my 10th album,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like on these numbers. I'm like, we talking 1996.
Mm-hmm.
In 1996, if you was a 30-something-year-old rapper, it went like this. And that old ass nigga still rapping? Mm-hmm. Like it was like 30-something. Mm-hmm. You was like an old OG.
Mm-hmm.
And I just decided, like, it was the numbers. I was like 10 albums, all of them platinum gold. I'm turning 30. I retire. I quit. I'm walking away from the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded real good, but then I dropped the album and reality set in. It's like the album was a Getting It album number 10. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's when they started like renegotiating. Don't quit. You want this? My phone started blowing up. They're like, OG, you going to retire? Can I get you on a song? I started doing all these features and stuff. I'm like, man, I'm not giving this up. The wheels are still on the car, man. I ain't.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I came back with the next album was called Can't Stay Away. And I'm like, man, My first album, the first time they ever put me in the studio, I'm making an album. They say, what you want to name the album? I'm thinking, like, what am I name? I'm like, name it Don't Stop Rapping. Mm. Like, why that? I'm like, because I ain't going to never stop rapping. So that's my career theme is Don't Stop Rapping. Mm. I just turned 56, and I'm still fucking rapping. Mm. And I'm about to do a sold-out show tonight and the next night and the next weekend. And I'm like, the wheels ain't fell off yet, so let's roll.
You had your first child or your daughter at 52?
Yep, she's 52 when I was born, first kid.
Wow. And you've been with your wife for 22 years, correct?
You've been on it. You've been on Wikipedia. Yeah. That's a lie.
Oh, okay.
That is hilarious. So somebody on Wikipedia keep, well, I didn't have this deleted 100 times. They right. keep putting it back up that I read it too. I try to research it myself.
Yeah.
So it was a wife.
It's on a couple of other websites too.
It's like I tucked her away somewhere in New Mexico and she got a bunch of babies and they be saying like names.
They listed her as like Esperanza.
So I seen names like Erica or something. And then they'll put like, I seen one where they like got this name and this story, but then the picture is Guapale. And I'm like, she from Oakland. I'm like, you know we married, right? And it's just
so
I don't know. Like, I don't know why they would do that. I've never been married, never been engaged, never.
You're lying.
I've only in my life twice even had like a live-in like girlfriend. Like I
for real?
I'm scared of that shit. like for real. Like it's
what frightens you about it?
Because of the lifestyle. I chose a certain lifestyle at a young age. I wanted to have fun. All right, let me give you a story. First tour I ever went on, straight out of Compton tour. Mm-hmm. I swear to God I was in love with my girlfriend. I wouldn't even bite my tongue and hesitate until I was in love. And the flight was booked, tour's booked, first stop was Nashville. I kissed my girlfriend, I love you, baby. You know, I'm calling you every day, all day. As soon as the fucking plane touched down, I never talked to her ever again. Never again. Like, what? I never.
Why?
As soon as the plane says, I start having fun.
Yeah, I see.
And I was like,
I love the E-bitch.
I wasn't trying to dog her or nothing. I was just like, that would be so unfair to keep her in this.
Would you consider that self-sabotage?
Yeah, but the point I'm saying is, okay, I meet you, fall in love with you.
Right.
We hanging out a month or two, and I'm like, okay, I'm at this shit now. I'm like, I gotta say, look, I love you, but I can't be in love. I can't do this because I'm not gonna be with just you. I'm never gonna be around, and I used to just keep it real.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and they're like, but I want to be with you. I'm like, but you understand what being with me is? It ain't cool. I'm telling you right now, I'm not cool. And I just leave it at that. So I'm like, it used to get difficult. I had this one safety mechanism where I would just come in the door going, they're like, well, you know, I like you a little bit. You seeing anybody? I'm like, yeah, I got a girlfriend. But I'm lying. I don't really have a girlfriend. And they're like, oh, you got a girlfriend? I'm like, but she don't live out here. She lives in another city. So that would be my safety mechanism for,
like, not getting too attached.
Yeah, I get involved with her, and then if she ever see me somewhere, I'm like, what are you doing? Who was that? I'm like, I told you I had a girlfriend when I met you. Like, it just was all these different safety mechanisms, and I love falling in love. I just didn't like being in love.
I think that's a lot of niggas,
hard,
though.
Hard.
Mm. I'm just saying, but a lot of niggas will stay in the relationship and drag her through it, have kids with her. She living there. This nigga's just living a foul-ass life. And I'm like, I didn't want to do that to anybody. So at that point, I never let that get into my life.
Yeah.
And
so you never goddamn took it when a bitch be like, okay, well, queen, which we're trying not to call them bitches so much. We got two short hills.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When they be like, well, I'm willing to take whatever come with you.
Yeah, I had that. That scares me too. Like, nigga, you can do whatever you want. Just don't bring nothing home. I'm scary. Like, well, what the fuck you gonna be doing?
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I'm saying? I got the green light.
Yeah, yeah.
What light you on? Yellow or red? What you on? So that scared me too. So yeah. I didn't like that one. But I did have a lot of fun in Atlanta because I used to figure that the best friend was always like a girl that liked girls. That's the best friend. So I was like, instead of hanging out with a bunch of the homies, I would hang out with a bunch of girls. And I'd be like, you know, chicks that like chicks. And I'm like, it just makes life easier, you know? Like, it's just, it's like we competing for the same thing. You know, girls get girls way easier than dudes do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was fun. It was fun, man. I was spoiled out here, man. I got to the point out here where I was like, one girl? Like, I'm going home. I can only get one girl tonight? I'm going home by myself. Mm. I'm like, unless it's two or more, I'm not doing it. Mm. I was like that for a long time. Mm. That's probably why I moved away from here. Because I was doing too much.
You're doing too much.
So what made you decide to have a kid?
I didn't decide. It happened. What I decided was I'm going to stop trying to not have kids. So it got to a point where I had a really bad experience at a young age. And I've told this story a few times, not a lot, but I had a really bad experience where I had a girlfriend in high school, got pregnant. Mm-hmm. She had an abortion. That kid would have been like damn near 40 years old now or something. I had another girlfriend when I got out of high school that got pregnant. She had an abortion. Mm-hmm. And then I got a third girlfriend pregnant. And we talked about it. And she said, the only way I have this baby is if we get married. I'm like, well, whoa, we ain't getting married. And she's like, well, I'm not having no baby. And I went with her to the place. And they called me in the room. There's like, she needs you. So I go in this room while this thing is going down. It's like these noises and stuff. And I'm trying not to look, but I messed up and I looked. And I could never erase what I saw. We left. She was like major depressed. She wouldn't talk for days. And then my birthday came around. And my girlfriend just cried all like hours and hours and hours. And I finally got her to stop crying and just say, what's wrong? And she said, this just messed me up for life. This is why I didn't have no kids. She said, I didn't want to have an abortion. I just wanted you to say that you didn't want me to have an abortion. And she said, the reason why she was crying, she said, it's your birthday. And the only birthday present I have for you, I was going to tell you I was pregnant with your son. And I just took all that like, damn. I was trying to do the right thing. Like,
right.
She's like, I don't want to get married. And I'm like, well, I don't want to get married. Well, we can't have this baby. I'm sitting there trying to do the right man yeah. thing. And she's like, I just wanted you, all when we was driving up, walking up, I just wanted you to say, don't do it. Mm. And I didn't say it. Yeah. And after that, that was the end of my, like, just, you know, I think to make a baby, you got to, like, do it. And then when you come, you got to let go and just fall and just let it go and just sink in and just marinate. And, you know what I'm saying? That's I don't know if that's true. But I thought that in my mind. I'm like, you got to fall and relax and stay in there.
That what you did at 52?
Exactly. That's what I didn't do until I was 52.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't do. I didn't fall and relax and I'd jump out and run away. And I had many arguments like, wow. Why you keep doing that? And I just, I'm a porn star. How does anything? I'm saying, but you're not getting this. So if it wasn't strapped, then it was all over the room. It was anywhere but in there. But it was, I think if I haven't had therapy, but if I did have therapy, I think it's some other things in there.
Yeah.
And
for sure. You need to go get that done.
But I'm gonna tell you, like, my daughter is very therapeutic to all of that stuff.
Mm.
To
yeah.
all of that, all of those dysfunctional things that I was believing and stuff.
Yeah.
I think she kind of got rid of a lot of that. So now I'm like,
okay,
I'm a granddaddy daddy. That's what I call it. Cause all my homies is granddaddies and their grandkids are the same age as my kid. So I call myself, I'm a granddaddy daddy, which, you know, when you're a grandfather, you treat your grandkids better than you treated your own kids. Mm-hmm. Cause you like, you're a better father at this time. Right, V? So, you know, I feel like, being a late bloomer as a father is a blessing for a guy like me. I don't think I would have did it right at a young age. I think I would have these really dysfunctional relationships with my kids, that my older kids that I would have had. And I'm kind of glad I didn't do it, because I would have been a bad person.
What type of value you think you're going to have to instill into your daughter so she won't make the wrong decision?
I'm going to do like I did everybody else. Just give her the game. Do run with it. Run with it. Mm. It's the game. You could, you know, it will set you free, but it also turn around and bite you.
So what's some shit that you like to do, like, when you're not being too short, that you enjoy, or, you know what I'm saying, that you like getting done, like activities, or, you know what I'm saying, anything like that? Like,
I'm just a social guy, man. I'm a social guy. I do anything that we can do as a group. We go out and kick it. I don't care if it's bowling, go to Topgolf. I don't care what it is. We can go get on the water on some jet skis.
You ever been ziplining?
I would zipline. I never ziplined, but I feel like ziplining in Hawaii is in my near future. That's one of the things. It's funny you said that, because that's one of the things that I always been saying, like, bro, I got to do this.
Yeah.
And I just ain't never been in the right place, right time to do it. And I don't want to do it, like, indoor somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to be outdoors. If you fall.
Hawaii or Costa Rica?
Dudes don't go to Costa Rica to zip line. What they go for, don't ask me.
Bitch.
You know what they go for.
Stop playing.
Oh, God. They say they need Elsa's. About what?
Will I get big fat? Big fat, big fat. State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
way.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
Is there any lyric, a song, a verse you would take back? Like,
oh man, I mean, so certain words like change the meaning, change over the years. It get a little political. You know, you have lyrics that would be too much for today's
society.
Culture, society, you know? For sure.
I've said some things that, you know, but a large part of what I was doing was like, it was like shock rap, you know. I was saying, I was writing this stuff down. Like, I'm writing a song, and I'm writing the punchlines before I even write the song. So I'm like, I'm gonna say, she choked on sperm in a windpipe and died. That's the punchline. Mm. So then I wrote a song called Blowjob Betty, and I'm like, I know the end of the song. She gonna choke on the sperm and die. Now I have to figure out how she got to that. And it's just funny, you know. So,
be the words too sensitive? No. For like rap and comedians and all that shit. Like,
I know, like, I feel bad for the comedians, man, because that's like you letting loose on an audience member or a topic was like that's what comedy is.
Right.
And now a comedian can't say the stuff they supposed to say, the stuff we can't say, and now they can't say it. So, you know, rappers, we're in that category too.
You think the cancel culture would have got a hold of you back in the day if it was now? You know how they counsel people and shit?
Yeah. I don't think they would even let a Too Short get in the game. Like, because I was, damn, I'm like, I beat the bitch up and dropped her off at Kaiser. Like, she was in the trunk of the car. They're like, get rid of this nigga now. You got to go.
You had to keep it independent.
Man, I said some stuff, but you know, like I said, the balance of Too Short has always been the humor. Like make it funny. Like
did this nigga really just say that? Like
make it funny. And I have a very special way of wording like negative things about women. Every time I say something negative about a woman, I say her. So I say I'm talking about her. So you listening, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about her. And you like, I know a bitch like that. So it always, it never falls on you.
It's not in general.
Yes, it's just, you know. And then, you know, you gotta, in real life, you gotta realize that all women are bitches. Like, you, when you like, bitch, I'm that bitch that'll fuck you up. You claiming that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my bitch. You claiming that. She's that's my bitch.
Those
that's my bitch.
Bitches.
Exactly.
But
you know when that shit don't apply. Where that word that get a nigga fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which album or song you think made the biggest impact in your career though?
Life Is Too Short sold the most. It's the only one I got that's double platinum. Blow the Whistle is the most impactful song I ever made. I made that when I was 40 years old, album number 16.
Like mainstream, but I think Getting It,
I was gonna say, it probably was the most pivotal album for what I was doing. Like it was musically, it's my favorite album because we had been doing some stuff up until that point that we perfected on that album.
Right.
And then I turned a corner after that album where it wasn't the same production crew anymore, and you could tell.
Yeah.
Like you could tell I never captured that sound again. Like that's the classic Too Short sound. From like Born to Mac to like Getting It. That's Too Short.
Yeah.
And then I was doing I went to other places and other things and extended the career with the help of Lil Jon and Jazzy Faye and start doing different stuff. Lil Jon style. Lil Jon took me out the trunk of the car and put me in the club. And I thank him for that
because
I was never trying to make club songs until I got with him. And then there's people now that go, man, you hear Too Short make that music gonna shake your ass. I'm like, that really wasn't me at first, but I learned how to do it.
If you say so.
For real.
What feature you see yourself in 2022 doing? Like, if you could call out a feature that you want to do, who would it be?
Right now, I'm trying to get out with Big Sean. Cause you know I fuck with Detroit like that.
You would have killed. I don't fuck with you.
He told a story that he was on the fence.
You would have killed that shit.
That he was gonna call me. Then he switched to 40. But I mean, he did the right thing tapping into the bay for that one.
Yeah.
I started to do a remix for that song that was called.
It's not too late.
It was kind of corny. The concept was kind of corny, but it came across my mind. I was gonna do a song called "I Do Fuck With You," and it was about the bitches. Like I really do fuck with you, bitch. Like like when they say we don't love them hoes, I'm like, no, nigga, we love the hoes. They say they get the money.
Right.
Hey, we got this shit called Big Fast Friday too, where we just talk about just random life stuff. So what would you say to a homeboy or a man if he, let's use the term, going out sad about a female? Like basically not the player, the pimp, but he on the other side of it. Like maybe he giving her money, she taking it to somebody else or whatever. But this is one of your people. Mm-hmm. Like what would you do to try to maybe, I don't know the word, to save him or?
Would you try to intervene or would you just mind your business?
If I say my homie was being like a super trick in a situation.
Going out sad.
Or a super simp.
Going out sad.
What do we say in Oakland? Shit. Cause that's just like it's not a lot of sympathy for bitch ass niggas, you know. Like it's just not a lot.
But this your partner though. He just caught one female that just fucking with his brain, and this is not the player you. You said he always been that.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think how you.
So you just let him go drown?
You supposed to save him before that happens, not after the fucking shit happens. You can't come back from that shit. I'm trying to think. Cause I have no sympathy. I'm just like, bro, you are like a bitch. Like literally, like as a dude, I don't have no feelings for your feelings. You know what I'm saying? It's like, nigga, like we actually, you know what we gonna do? I don't know what we gonna do. We're gonna tell fucking jokes in your face till you cry some more.
Right.
And till you fucking the jokes is funny to you too. Like fucking.
Right. Yeah.
Like it'll get real intense. Like we was on the tour bus. On the tour bus, you can't run. You can't run. Right. We on the bus.
For hours.
And you got your heart broke last year. That shit coming up. Like, remember what old girl did to you last year? I mean, we running that for like hours. Like, nigga, I didn't have the homies dig into me. Like, I'm like, you like wiping a tear. Like, niggas laughing so hard at you. Like, damn, bro. Like, damn. Like, I mean, I fell in love. Them niggas called me Shorty the Lover. Like, I had an album called Shorty. My album's called Shorty the Pimp. Niggas called me Shorty the Lover for like a year. Like, me, you ain't Shorty the Pimp, nigga. Like, they wore me out.
Man, you still at it? What album? So you about to put out an album? What number is this?
I forgot. I lost count.
You lost count.
I feel like it's 20 something, like low 20s, like 21, 22. Mm-hmm. But I lost count because it was album number 16, and I remember 16. That was getting it out. That was on the Born to Blow the Whistle album. Mm-hmm. But I can't. I lost count after that because I don't know. I stopped giving a fuck. I just know it's a lot.
How often you record though?
I'm in the studio 2-3 days a week. During the quarantine, I did a lot. Like, I recorded 50 songs with Cube and E-40 and Snoop Dogg. We got 50 unreleased Mount Westmore songs. Me, personally, during that quarantine, I probably knocked out about 60, 70 songs that is just, like, you know, in the can. Since then, I'm in there, like, 2-3 days a week. I go in there and just mess around and, you know, put you know, fix some songs up and add some stuff. I do a lot of verses for other people. I feel like that's, you know, that's a big part of longevity.
But
is you know, doing like local songs for people somewhere in Indiana and Michigan somewhere, and you like that song might only be in that hood, but you famous in that one hood. And
yeah.
I feel like a jazz musician, like a blues singer right now. I feel like for hip hop, if you get to be like my age and you say something like, well, man, I'm in my 50s, man, I can't rap no more. Then you putting a limit on hip hop. And where was the limit on jazz? Could a jazz musician blow that horn and play with his band till he was 70, 80 years old? How old was B.B. King when he stopped playing? I think he died. He was still playing. You know what I'm saying? Like when is it too old for a blues singer?
What about a nigga who never had no success trying to be still be?
That is a good one. The rapper who's still trying to get his first hit been doing it since he was 25 and he's 40 and still ain't caught a hit. I'm like, I really feel bad about that situation, because you gotta, man, unless you're doing it for a hobby and you like freestyle battles and you like, you know, open mic and you like recording and listening to it yourself and let your friends hear it. But if you ain't got like a little bit of dust, a little fan base, a little like,
yeah,
like, cause
what if there was one studio session away from that hit though? It don't happen. It's rare, but it don't happen.
When?
I don't see people catching their 30s.
Yeah, but
yeah.
But you sure. know, it's just, it's sad to have a person you know.
Right.
Continuously mm-hmm. keep making records, and mm-hmm. every time they hit play, you like, maybe it's going to be again, and it's whack again.
Right.
It's whack. Like, I'm talking whack, like, can't nobody listen to a whack.
Right.
Like ears bleeding whack.
And then you can't even tell a person like that, like, bro, you just ain't got it, because they don't.
They like, oh, you become the hater, like Banco. You hate it. Yeah.
So I feel bad in that situation, man. Like, this ain't for everybody, man. Like, this ain't for everybody. Like even like, I feel the same way about producers. It's some dudes that have been sliding me beats for 15 years, ain't slid me one dope beat yet. I'm like, bro, like, you're not good at this. Like, but like you said, you could catch a hit. I don't know. Yeah. It's been many of rap records that were big records that I first heard and was like, oh, that's whack.
Yeah,
and then it actually grows on me later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I'm like, damn, I didn't even like that at first, but I give that to hip hop. But the old dudes trying to break in the game, that's kind of funny, man. That's kind of funny. You been a little showcase and all the little young homies come out rapping and this one old dude come out. He got the flow. It's all serious, but like, bro, you not going to make it.
Oh, man.
They're not letting you in the game. It's like a party. Some people just can't get in.
Some people just can't get in.
So let me ask you this. What other things are you into, or what like other shit do you have going on outside of the music that generates you income and that you're like pretty much setting up for the longevity for you and your daughter and the rest of your family?
I mean, the merch is good. I'm from California. The marijuana is making a lot of money. I'm dabbling in all that stuff. I'm definitely you know, seeking like some place to land with the two short story. It could be
the documentary.
A documentary
or a
cool.
biopic.
When we go on the movie, yeah. we going for the okay. six episodes. We going for the three seasons. We doing something.
Yeah.
We doing something. So all that's there. Definitely. Getting into like, you know, like what can you do if rap ain't making you money? Like,
have you ever touched on real estate or anything?
Not necessarily real estate to make money,
mm-hmm.
but like putting money in places and getting money back. I'm into that thing. Like my guys is just now really like getting me to get deep into like the whole little startup investments and the,
yeah.
And, you know, just flipping the money, let the money make money.
Yeah. You see all that money Nas made off Ring?
So I'm in a situation now where I'm kind of like being educated on something that I feel like we all should get at a young age. I feel really bad that I didn't get at it a long time ago. Same. But it's just like, we always think like, what can I do to make money? But then when you get the money, what can the money do to make money? Yeah. That's a whole different thing that we don't think about, because we're programmed, and as you know, it's young and dumb is something you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But damn if he was young and smart. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we programmed to get this shit right here. We got to go get this shit. I look at them chains and I'm adding up. I'm like, okay, this nigga got on $590,000 chains. He could have put that money to work. You know what I'm saying? The car cost $300.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it just ain't adding up like to what you could have did with that money. And I'm like, gotta be young and dumb though. But young and dumb has one major flaw. If that's the only bag you're gonna get, mm-hmm. you know, you fucked up.
Yeah.
Because you know, I can sit here and say I fucked off the first bag and the second bag. But a nigga went back at it.
Yeah.
And at some point, if you was smart, you know what I'm saying? Like, look at athletes. There's some smart athletes that didn't really get into the cars and houses in multiple cities. Niggas knew they was only going to play for 5 years and kept that money and put it to work. But it's other motherfuckers, you're like, I know I seen this nigga make $80 million. How's he broke? So, you know, that's something that hip-hop, Jay-Z's album, with all the wisdom.
4444
It was like the it was like the OG spitting to all the young homie, but I don't think it really resonated on, on how serious he was.
Right.
You want to get to where I'm at? Like he was telling you, but you know what I'm saying? You kind of still like jamming and we still, I'm just saying, bro, if you smart, that's the, I didn't do it, but if you put that Young Money to work, you yeah. later on in life, you'll be like, okay.
Wealthy over rich. Wealthy, but, for sure.
So, like, if you had, like, some last final closing words to say to the people about Too Short and your legacy, everything you have going on, whatever you have coming up, what would it be? All of the Big Facts viewers and Big Facts world.
Don't get mad if you find out I fucked your mama. I'm just joking. That's my new joke. If your mama was that Freaknik 94,
she was probably a victim.
If your mama used to work at Nikki's VIP,
she was probably a victim.
Nah, I'll fuck with y'all.
No, you're not.
Nah, you know, I just think the generational separation, the ageism in hip hop is kind of stupid because, for one, you are OG and you're looking at these youngsters sliding the game, they getting money, they got hit records, you see it and you going, that shit is trash. How is it trash if this nigga's making all this money and all these people like what he's doing? How is that trash? Because when I was a young nigga, they said it was trash and I knew what the value of it was and I knew people loved it. And then you just hating on them because it's different than what you did. You ain't, you like, man, he ain't spitting bars. Like, well, I talked to the young homies, they said he's spitting bars. I was in a room full of everybody that knew Young Thug lyrics. I was the only nigga in the room that didn't know the lyrics. I couldn't hear what he was saying. And they all singing. I'm like, nigga, y'all hear what he's saying? It's like, yeah, nigga. And I'm like, I'm not hating on it, but I'm like, my ear can't hear the words, but they all knew it. So I'm like, I see the value in it. I see it. I see the nigga pull up with a fleet of Rolls Royces. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's quality. So on the flip side, then the young homies, the OGs make the young homies mad. They like, man, fuck these old niggas, man. Get y'all old asses out the way.
And
I just say to the young homie, because I'm different than the other OGs. I'm like, nigga, you wish you could walk out on the stage at 56 years old and the crowd be sold out and they pay you $50,000. You wish at the age of 25 that twice your life from now, you still be getting money doing what you're doing right now. You wish. And I just think that ageism in hip hop is it's dumb as fuck. Like you don't gotta listen to my music if you're 19 years old. I don't gotta listen to your music if you're a 19 year old artist. Yeah. But respect is a different thing. Like I respect your hustle, and I think some of the OGs don't respect the young homies' hustle. They looking at it like, oh, your flow whack. But then the young homies, you know what I'm saying? Some of them don't see that thing that. It's going to be a lot of obstacles in your future. Shit that might get you killed. Shit that might stop your bag from coming through. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things. You go in the label and slap the wrong executive, they're going to shelf your ass. You can cuss them out on the phone, they're going to shelf your ass. And you just don't know what your future might be. So if you do have that in your cards to where 10 years into your career, they love you. 20 years into your career, they love you. That's a blessing. That's not a bad thing to be like, OG, get out the way. You're going to be an OG one day. You wish. So it's like the ageism is dumb to me because both sides, the argument, you can't win the argument if you're arguing with me. If you're a young nigga trying to tell me how old niggas is whack or vice versa, you can't win that argument with me. Cause
and you sitting at home and I'm on tour.
Yeah, you can't win. You can't. I sit in the room mostly with old dudes trying to explain to me that the new shit is whack, and I'm like, okay, let's dissect it. How's it whack? And then when you realize, well, the beats, they love it. They love it. The beats is go to clubs and look at the reaction, and then look at the money they get.
That's the end of
exactly.
That's the end of
that right argument.
Shit, yeah, that's the end of the argument. Hey, it can't be whack if niggas getting money off of it.
That's what I'm saying. As hip hop, we got to really look at this ageism thing and kind of let it go.
Because I feel like ageism in hip hop is the same thing as colorism in modeling and acting.
All the isms.
Yeah.
Sexism, all the isms. It's bullshit.
Yeah. What are we doing, Scream?
Sure, appreciate you, man, for pulling up on Big Facts, you know what I'm saying?
I watched the show a lot. I was looking forward to doing it, man. And because I keep my TV on revolt in the studio.
There you go.
And I see a lot of, you know, you guys do good interviews and shit. Appreciate y'all, that, y'all niggas come up here and keep it real. So
I was
prepared.
Yes.
There you go. There you go.
We honored to have a legend in the building, man. We appreciate you following through.
Too short on Big Facts, www.bigfactspod.com.
Salute!
You're listening to Big Facts with Big Bank and DJ Scream. Follow Big Facts on social media at Big Facts Pod. Big Bank and DJ Scream bring you Big Facts.
Hey, man, it's all the way up.
Ladies and gentlemen!
That merch in.
Yes!
Yeah, that's right, www.bigfactspod.com.
Yeah!
With the real ones one time. Y'all come get y'all some of this merch, man.
Bigfactspod.com.
Let's get it!
Get that merch right now. Shop with us.
It's all the way up. Big Fat merch.
It's going down.
Visit the new website today, www.bigfactspod.com. Visit now.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save.
UndercoverTourist.com.